I'd like to speak to you today upon the words at the end of verse 11. The wiles of the devil. Now, when Paul speaks of the wiles of the devil, he's speaking about Satan's craftiness, Satan's deceit, because that word wiles means. It speaks of his methods, his cunning, and the fraudulent way that Satan goes about his evil work. When the devil attacks, he always does so in a subtle way. It may be better to say even in subtle ways, because there are many, many weapons in the armory of the devil. And one thing our adversary loves to do is to rob us of our assurance of salvation. He knows that God's word speaks about the assurance of salvation. For example, 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." The devil knows that that's in the word of God. So he wants to undermine the word, and he wants to rob us of our assurance of salvation. That's one of his attacks, one of the wiles of the devil. Attack the Christian, destroy their assurance. And of course, if we lack assurance of salvation, if Satan succeeds in that attack, then we will not pray as we ought. You see, the Bible says we as Christians are to pray with confidence and with assurance. We all know Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." But of course, we can't come boldly if we lack assurance. We'll not be able to pray as we ought. So the devil attacks the assurance that the Christian has. We're also meant, whenever we're saved, to have joy. Christians are to be joyful. The Bible says in 1 John 1:4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." It's the will of God for us to be joyful, for us to be saved, for us to be praying, for us to be joyful, for us to have assurance. But if Satan can rob us of these things, then he's spoiling our Christian witness, he's spoiling our Christian work. Because he knows if we've got assurance, even though we're in a wilderness experience, it'll still feel like an oasis because we're trusting the Lord. If he can rob us of all of that, he's harming us. He's hurting us in our Christian lives. The devil hates those who are spiritually strong. And he wants to rob you of that strength and hurt you and harm you and pull you down. He's a wily foe. He attacks in many, many ways. Today, there are just two things that I want to say to you about the wiles of the devil. Two ways in which he attacks. Two ways in which he seeks to do great harm to you, to me, and to the Church of Jesus Christ in general. The two wily attacks of the devil that I want to speak about today are these. Number one, he is the author of the false profession. It's a major attack upon the church. And number two, he attacks those with a faithful profession. First of all, the devil, this wily foe, is the author of the false profession. You see, the devil doesn't care how many people make a false profession. That is no attack upon his kingdom. Well, not really. It's really no loss to the devil if a person makes a false profession. Actually, I think the point could be made that when people make a false profession, the devil's really happy. In his eyes, that's probably better than no profession at all. Why, you might say, why do I make that point? I think the explanation is quite simple. all the time that a person is holding on to a false profession, that person still belongs to the devil. And while clinging to the false profession, that first person does not think that he or she belongs to the devil. They think they belong to the Lord. They believe that they're still on the road to heaven because they've made this profession. That means they'll not be troubled about getting saved because they think they are saved. They're relying on the false profession. And so they just go on, lulled into this false sense of security. Sure, I made a profession, I'm all right. But you're not all right if it's a false profession. And Satan will do all in his power to give the false professor a false assurance in order to keep that person where he or she already is. You know what it's like if you need your passport and you think it's okay, you think it's in date, and you're going on holidays in a year's time, 9 months' time, 8 months' time, and you think the passport's okay. So you don't go to that drawer where you keep those important documents. You don't bother to check it out, to open it up, look for that part where it says there's the expiry date. You see, when you think it's okay, you don't bother checking. However, if you're going on holiday in a few months' time and you think that passport might be out of date, I have a funny feeling it hasn't long to run, you will then go to that drawer. You will take that passport out. You will look at that date. And I hope you have time to get it sorted out, because if you haven't, you'll not be getting on the easy jet and you'll not be going on your holidays. You need the passport. Do you see the point I'm trying to make? If a person thinks everything's okay, they'll not seriously check it out. But when a person knows there's a problem, they'll do their best to deal with it, and that's wise. You see, folks, it's possible to profess and not possess and yet think that you possess salvation. There are undoubtedly some who have given intellectual assent to the truth without the knowledge of the power of that truth in their hearts. They may have repeated a statement, a formula, and said, I believe that. But that does not necessarily prove that they're Christians. After all, you know what it says in James? The devils also believe and tremble. How then is a person to know if a profession is false? That's something we should all want to know. How are we to know if the profession is false? Well, for one thing, there'll be no real change in the life if the profession is false. By this I mean no radical change. No real change that issues from the heart. Oh, there may have been a modification of the old life, but that alone does not make you a Christian. A Christian is not someone who has just modified his old life. A Christian is a person who is born again and has a completely new life. That's God's salvation. New life in Christ. The Holy Spirit enters the heart and life, regenerates the dead sinner. And that person has a new life in Christ. A false profession, that's where someone just adds to what they already have in the hope that that'll do. Where someone just modifies what's already on the surface to improve the life a little. And that's not good enough. There needs to be an internal change wrought by the power of the Holy Ghost. But where there's a false profession, there may be a little change for a while. That might last for a for a wee while. It might not last very long. It reminds us of the story that Christ told of the sower and the seed. Some seed is snatched away by the fowls. Some seed is in the stony ground, and there's no depth to the roots. Some seed is among the thorns, and the cares of this world choke it. Well, that's the case. There's a false profession. But then there's the good seed in the good soil that produces real salvation. Folks, if there is to be any lasting outward change, there must be an inward change when we profess salvation. The Holy Spirit must live within the heart. The individual must have the experience that the Apostle Paul testified of in Galatians 2, verse 20. This is what he said. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When a person can say, Christ liveth in me, it's not a false profession. It's genuine. It's real. And that's what we need. The person must know that something has been done to him, not just that he has done something. And I think there's a problem there. Because many people today think as long as I do something, I'm okay. It's not what you do, it's what has been done to you. And by that I refer to God working in your heart and life, God speaking to you, the Holy Spirit moving, regenerating, convicting of sin, leading to repentance, leading to faith. And then the sinner calling out for salvation. That's the salvation that's in the Bible. Oh yes, there are things we have to do, but it's not so much what we do. It's what has been done to us. That's how you know whether the profession is true or false. Maybe you're still asking the question, am I saved or not? Well, it says in 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. These people had been saved under Paul's ministry. And they knew it. Why? Because the truth, the testimony, the proof of it was written on their hearts. And this is the heart of the matter. Is thine heart right with God? In your heart, do you know that you're saved? Has there been a change in your heart? If there has been no change in the heart, if the heart has not been cleansed and is not indwelt by the Spirit of the living God, then you may be relying on a false profession. Is thine heart right with God? False profession is evidenced when there's no change in the life. Also, when there's no concern about the life. Another indication of the false profession. No concern about the way the person is living. The devil wants people to make a false profession. And this is another way of him making sure that it has happened. The individual is not concerned about the life that he or she is living. The individual is not unhappy, not disturbed about their sin. They say, well, I've made a profession, I can do what I like. Live whatever way I please. I'm okay. And they have no concern about their sin. And they've got this false peace and this false joy. Oh, they don't see things the way Cowper did when he said, where is the blessedness I knew when first I knew the Lord? They don't have a concern when they get cold of heart and get away from God and dabble in sinful and wicked things. Oh, it's okay. It's no concern. Is that you? No real concern about the life you're living? That's the person with the false profession. They don't know, they don't feel another law within themselves. dragging them down. There's no battle against sin. It's not there. They have no difficulty about the way they live. They don't fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. By the way, folks, to be a Christian is to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil every day. The false professor doesn't do that. Not interested. Just drifting along. Let me tell you, if you're saved, you'll know there's a devil. He's a wily foe, and he will attack you. He'll do it. You'll know that you've got a sinful nature, because as sure as you want to go on with God, there'll be that within you pulling you down, holding you back, challenging you every time. You'll know that there's a world out there that will tempt you, trap you, get you one way or another if it can, get you caught up in this, that, or the other. Anything to get you away from God. There's a world out there that will do that. When you're saved, you'll know it. You'll know it. I'm not saying that in this battle we will lose our peace or our joy. No, no, no. There's a peace and a joy the Christian always has. It's a deep-seated peace in the heart granted by the Lord. If you're looking to the Savior, you'll not lose your peace and your joy. But if you're truly saved, you'll know I'm a soldier. I'm in a battle. This isn't easy. This is a struggle. I have to fight every day. And in this battle, I get tired. And in this battle, sometimes the enemy seems to be getting the upper hand, but I know I'm on the right side, I'm on the Lord's side. The captain of my salvation will see me through, he'll give me victory. You'll know that if you're saved. No matter how hard it is, you'll be able to rely upon the Lord. You see, the Christian life is not a doddle. It's a struggle. And if you're living the life, really living the life, you have to be engaged in this struggle. With some people, there's no change in the life. There's no concern about the life they live. As well as that, there's no checking of the life. What do I mean by that? Well, the one who is deceived by the devil, the one who's made a false profession, just imagines that he or she is ready for heaven. And that person doesn't like to look into the heart and life. That person resents self-examination, resents preaching about it. Doesn't like to hear a challenge about self-examination. They don't want to know these things. Oh, they say, don't look in. Sure, the Lord has taken care of all that. The Lord has forgiven. Don't be looking in. That'll just discourage you. Just look up. Well, folks, there is a degree of truth in that. Undoubtedly. We are to look up. We have to look up. We can't always be looking in, but there are times when we must examine self. We must do it. We have to do it. The Bible teaches this. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Examine yourself and prove yourself. Self-examination is good because self-examination is scriptural. Scriptural. But the deceived don't like this sort of examination. And they'll make any excuse rather than do it. If you're not truly saved, you should examine self in order to get right with God. But of course, you may be like the person who has health issues. And that person knows there are issues. Some loved one says to that person, you would need to go to the doctor. You should get that checked out. It wouldn't do any harm just to get someone to take a wee look at that. And there are people who know that there's an issue. And they have been given good advice by the family. Go get it checked out. But they don't do it. Why? They don't want to face up to the problem. That's why. There are some people like that. I had to get some checkups done there this year. Didn't like the thought of it. A wee bit concerning. I'm a very private person. I would run a mile rather than go for all those tests. Do you know what? I went. I'm glad I did. See the sense of relief when that consultant, she came into the ward and she just said to me, "Fine. Not a thing wrong. Clear." What a relief. What a relief. There are some people who just run away from the facts. They don't want to face up to them. You're better to face up to them. Spiritually, you're better to face up to them. If there's a problem spiritually, get it sorted out. Oh, it might be hard. Might be difficult. It's worth it in the end. I'll tell you, the one person who doesn't want you to get checked out, that's the devil, the wiles of the devil. He'd rather see you rest on your laurels with a false profession all your life. Because he knows, if that's the case, you're lost. The Lord doesn't want that, though. Has the Lord brought me here today just to bring this word that you might examine yourself to see if you're in the faith? It's a good thing to do that, especially where there are doubts. You need to do it. If you're not saved, don't let the devil sing lullabies in your ear and rock you to sleep. Don't do that. Don't let him get you resting on a false security. He's the author of the false profession, but then very quickly, he also attacks those with a faithful profession. Oh, he's a wily foe. He tries to make false professors think that they are Christians, and he also says to those who are the Lord's children, who are truly saved, "You're not." And he comes to attack them and undermine their faith and hurt them and harm them and pull them down if he can. And maybe you're truly saved and you're going through a hard time. Is the devil attacking? He does from time to time. He comes against us. Christian, remember this, he'll attack you when you least expect it. Generally, when you think all's going well in your life. There's an elder in the first church I was in, Cumber. And he always said, after blessing, beware. He wasn't negative. He wasn't a discourager. He was a very, very wise man. He had seen it so often. And when the Lord came down in blessing in the church and something good happened and we were rejoicing, he would have said, after blessing, beware. Our adversary is not happy that God is working. He'll attack. He was a wise man and he was right. And we live to see it time and time again. After blessing, beware. Satan loves to attack when you least expect it. It'll come. And it'll come from the most unexpected source. Oh, yes. It could be someone in your own family. You never dream that such a thing could happen or be said, but it happened. It could be someone in your work. A friend you trusted. Yes, it could even be someone in the fellowship. The attacks come at the most unexpected time, in the most unexpected way, from the most unexpected people. And you see, when those attacks come from our wily adversary, they're the worst ones. They're the hard ones. They're the ones that really floor you. Have you been there? I've been there. I know what that's like. I think most of you have. Young people, as you get older, if you haven't suffered it yet, it'll come. Satan attacks in a vicious way. In a vicious way. But even though he does that to the Christian, makes life difficult. There's one thing that's totally impossible. He cannot rob us of our salvation. I always rejoice in that. John 10:29, "My Father which gave them unto me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." He can't rob us of God's salvation. He can't pluck us out of the Father's hand. If he could, he would, and no one would be saved. But he can't. He can make life difficult for you. The trials come, but he can't pluck you out of God's hand. You're in the hand of the Lord, Christian. Rejoice in that. You rejoice. The devil is already defeated. Christ had the victory at Calvary. Your Savior's the King, and he's alive forevermore. And he will have the last say. He'll have the last say over the devil. He's the victor. He has taken us out of the clutch of the devil, and he doesn't intend to give us back. We're eternally secure in Christ. So no matter what happens, that will not change. It's great to have eternal security. To know that our glorification is bound up in Christ and what he did for us at the cross and what he has done in our hearts. We're going to glory. No matter what the devil throws at us, no matter what he does to us, we're going to glory. How joyful we should be. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I thought this morning actually of some of the early reports that we heard from Ukraine. Whenever the bombs were landing and the people were on the news, and the TV, I'm sure you saw it at tea time like I did, and they spoke of running to the shelters. They spoke of going underground, whether it was railway tracks, underground stations, whether it was protection that had been built, whatever. But they ran to those places. And that's where they felt safe. They were being attacked. But if they got down there, they knew the bombs could not penetrate that deep and they'd be okay. I just thought, isn't that like us? Except we run to Christ, the strong tower. When the attack comes, you run to him. When you're truly saved, you've got him. You can turn to him. No matter what happens, he's the strong tower for his people. You run to Christ, and you'll always be safe. I'm sure you could say, I have found it so. It is true. Run to him. Folks, we can have great joy today as Christians. But remember, the devil wants to persuade some people that they're saved when they're not. And he wants to dissuade those who are saved from thinking that they're saved. He's always attacking. What's the reason for the message today as I conclude? Is it to create doubt? Absolutely not. It's to point people to the fact that they need assurance, they can have assurance, they ought to have assurance. And if they don't have it, seek the Lord and get it. Seek the Lord and get assurance. Make sure you're saved. And when you are saved, continue to run to him. No matter what attack comes, when it comes, and it will, you flee to Christ. That's where you will find safety and security. May God bless his word to all of our hearts today. For Christ's sake.